This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your work day. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
My co-host this morning is Michael Veitch. So Michael, this is, have you ever done anything like this before?
Radio?
Yeah, radio as a host.
Yeah? With a little organisation called the Australian Broadcasting Corporation.
Not oh, that's sure all right. We don't mind them.
Yep. Now, yeah. I was 3 years in Hobart on ABC 936 Hobart. And I had morning, they started me off in the afternoon with the easy slot,
yep.
And then after a particular controversy down there, they overnight they shoved me into breakfast. So I went from the easiest.
Oh, what was it? What did you do?
No, it wasn't me. It was the Andy Muirhead business down at the ABC. Let's not go.
The listeners are going to have to Google.
You'll have to Google it. But suddenly I went from the easiest shift, rocking in at 10 a.m., a couple of hours on air, done by 4 o'clock, to the middle of a Hobart winter where I had to be in the studio on air at 5:45. And Hobart winters are pretty severe. So bit of a shock to the system, and then they put me back onto afternoons for a while, and then I did my last year of evenings.
Yes.
So I did the whole thing.
Yes.
Love Hobart.
Yes. Lovely city.
Miss it in a way, indeed.
So have you enjoyed this morning?
Look, have I enjoyed this morning? Well, of course I'm going to say yes, but let's see if we can pick it up. We can pick up the pace a bit in the last hour. Let's come back to that question. And as for the rat test, I might be able to help you out, Macca, at a pretty good price. I might have contacts, you know what I mean?
Oh.
Meet me out by the...
The car park?
Yeah, the car park. Just, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Scalping. I'm sure people have been scalping these wretched things, haven't they?
They have. And interestingly, I was discussing with someone actually last night. Oh, the rat tests that are produced in Queensland that don't have TGA approval for Australia, they're actually for sale on Amazon internationally.
Great.
So I wonder whether you could buy some and bring them in. Now, I know Australian Border Force, they're not very good on the visa questions, but
they just get confused because they're probably getting a lot of conflicting information from various governmental agencies.
No, that's Tennis Australia. So Australian Border Force, as most listeners know, I think they do a remarkable, incredible, diligent job of stopping anyone bringing more than 25 cigarettes into Australia. Now, you know,
you're obviously a fan of the show.
Oh, look, they, I have had some feedback, but the whole thing is, I wanted to talk about the whole Novak Djokovic situation, and
which is happening as we speak, because he's
happening as
back in court. So we're keeping an eye out for the bulletins.
And it's actually quite remarkable that we had the situation where, for those of you not of a legal mind, let me give you a little summary. The government lost its case on Monday this week on the basis that Djokovic was not given adequate time or procedural fairness to explain his situation. That's the gist of it. So the mistakes or the border officials who were questioning him, perhaps, you know, the judge said basically, look, they didn't, you know, they said they'd give him time. They didn't give him time. Of course, bear in mind, most people that are questioned by Australian Border Force don't have the opportunity to speak with their lawyers or to have a few hours to consider their position.
Or have five beach houses in the Mediterranean.
Yes. So, you know, we're talking about a person who has access to a lot of money and a lot of power and a lot of influence. But Border Force made a mistake, right? So 4 days later, well, the government said in that hearing that the Minister for Immigration, not the Minister for Home Affairs, a different minister, could appeal the matter, potentially, or would actually make a decision under the personal powers that that minister has, otherwise known as the God powers within the political sphere.
Yeah, the ones that Howard brought in after Tampa. Yeah, so it doesn't matter what the courts say, because ultimately, I think this is what happened. He engineered it so the immigration minister will ultimately have final say.
And, you know, this is about the separation of the judiciary and executive government, but also it's about making a political point. So 4 days roll on. No doubt the Commonwealth Solicitor General, a whole army of lawyers and barristers have beavered away. We're probably talking about billings, you know, commercial hour billings of hundreds of thousands of dollars a day. Like a lot of money. In the scheme of things, you know, you'd probably buy 100,000 rat tests. But anyway, so they've all been beavering away. And then Friday afternoon, late on a Friday afternoon, between 5 and 6 p.m. in media terms, when governments make an announcement, is known as putting out the trash.
Yeah.
You make it.
You bury it.
Yeah, you issue a press release, you know. So they did this. Actually, it was at 3 minutes to six. And so their four days of thinking about this, they came up with the basis, you know, that on public health grounds, okay, I don't know what today's infections are. Let's assume it's 35,000 in Victoria. They came up, one, with public health grounds, that he's a risk to public health. Okay.
And he's going to encourage all the anti-vaxxers.
Okay, and he's a risk to the good order of society, and he's going to encourage...
A.K.A.
the anti-vaxxers. Yeah. So, as I said earlier, if the government is so concerned about anti-vaxxers, right, that they're going to cause, a lack of order in society, really simple. Go down to Melbourne Park, go to John Cain Arena. I'm sure there's some new tennis balls you can get, Minister. Get a handful of them. Get a bucket of them, because you're going to need a few. Then when you go back to Canberra, go into the party room. The people that are sitting up at the back of the room, the back benches, a few of them, George Christensen and others, stick a tennis ball in their mouths. That will stop a lot of the anti-vax, right?
Game, set, and match, Macca.
Right? Now,
and then go into the Nats party room, because you'll need a bucket of them there.
Well, it's the only place where you'll need more balls. So
they've got too many balls in there, full stop, haven't they?
Well, yes, you know. So the problem is, after 4 days, we have this situation where the best they can come up with is he's going to encourage anti-vax sentiment. And as his lawyer said, oh, what you think deporting him is going to solve that?
It will with an election.
One thing that
in 8 weeks' time or whenever it is.
They have to announce it. It has to be by May. So when I was watching the Federal Circuit Court last night, yes, I know people think, don't you have anything better to do? The thing that became apparent to me was that Novak Djokovic's lawyers were very well prepared. They would have war-gamed this all week, all the different scenarios. And they were, so it was basically, they would have had, you know, when you see them wheeling down the street, these trolleys of folders into court, they would have had a couple of trolleys of folders, and there would have been all these different scenarios, probably three or four folders for each one. And then when the minister makes his decision, they go, right, trolley number four.
Plan number four.
This is what it's about. The government comes in and goes, well, actually, we think he's a risk to public health. There's already a couple of million people a couple of hundred thousand people infected, but one person in an environment where everyone else has to be vaccinated, not him apparently, but where everyone else has to be vaccinated, that's going to be a risk to public health. But the biggest risk is that he is going to incite anti-vaxxers. They conveniently ignored the fact that he lied on his entry document, right, about whether he'd travelled. Oh, that was an administrative error. My people did that. My people did that. That is a serious offence. That alone is a sufficient reason to cancel his visa. But no, risk to public health and, you know, anti-vax. And I just think, seriously, you can't make this shit up. Like, really. And sometimes, Michael, you have to think, when governments do this, and governments of all colours do this, do stuff that you like. And a friend of mine said, yeah, but, you know, why do they do it? And I said, what you have to do is put yourself in the mindset of those people. So I explained it like this. If you believed in the federal government's border policy, which I don't, but if you did, and this was happening, what would you do? You'd cancel his visa. But you'd actually, that's what they would do, right? If you of that mind. But you wouldn't pick the most flimsy and ridiculous and naive reason. He's a risk to public health. You know, there's a bin out in the street that's not been emptied. That's a greater risk to public health, right? He's going to encourage the anti-vaxxers. Oh, what about the member for Manila, George Christensen, right? Mm-hmm. He is one of the biggest anti-vaxxers. Okay, that other fool, whose name I'm not going to mention.
They probably think that Novak has greater influence than people like George Christensen, and they'd probably be right. Well, I am just, I hope all that comes at it is drawing attention not to Djokovic, but as we heard earlier this week, if there's anything that's good that's come out of it, is the
attention on the asylum seekers.
That fellow who's been over there for nine years.
Right now, these are people.
Are we the sort of country that does this to lock somebody up for 9 years for having essentially done nothing?
We
wrong
are, and
over successive governments,
you know. And this is the whole point. And you know what? If Novak Djokovic and his people, and being an old PR practitioner, if they asked me my advice, I'd give it to them for free. Unlike some others who are charging...
Well, you're giving it to us now for free.
I'm giving it for free.
I feel like I'm Novak Djokovic.
Who will be charging thousands of dollars a day.
Send me the bill later. Yeah,
okay. What I would say is, you know what, Novak? First off, apologise. Right? You always have the element of surprise in PR when you tell the truth. Number one, apologise. Then say, government, please let me stay. I really want to play in the Australian Open. I will be really good next time. I won't, you know, whatever it is, right? Get him across the line so he can play. And then I'd say, mate, if you won the Australian Open, you know what you would then say? You would stand up on centre court and say, I actually want to say something here. I want to talk about the people that I shared a hotel with for four days, who've been held in detention without access to the situation and the people that I've had access to. And I've just been given a check for $1 million or $2 million, whatever it is, for winning the Australian Open. I'm going to donate that to the Refugee Resource Centre to fight legal action to stop this sort of thing happening to people. That's what I would advise. And say, you know, you can, the view is always better from the moral high ground rather than a pile of shit. That's what I would say to him. And his lawyers, if they were smart, would be saying the same thing. And his PR team, who might be listening, I'd say, guys, you know that would work. I know getting him across the line on that is going to be hard, but that's what, if you want to regain the ascendancy in this, because the government's case...
Well, surely that would infuriate the government even more, though.
Yeah, but whether the government win its case, at the end of the day, they've come from a situation where they'd lost the argument at the start of the week. As the week went on and all these things came out, they started to win the argument, and then they turn up in court, you know, with a three-week-old chicken sandwich that had gone green. No one wanted it. Mm. It's nonsense. So,
well, I don't think. I mean, the trouble is, he probably doesn't care. He's the sort of person that is not.
We don't, Michael. We don't know. We only know what we read. As I said, if I was giving PR advice, it would be, you know what, mate? If you can get to play at the Open and you win, or any time you do media, use the opportunity to say something about those people that are locked up in the hotel that you had to spend 4 days in.
Mm.
And, you know, you've got between 150 and 200 million US dollars already. Another $1 million isn't going to make a difference. Pledge that to support these people to fight for their freedom.
Oh, what a wonderful world that would be. Macca.
Well, now,
just quickly, speaking of reading, I would urge people to read two articles this week that both came out on Crikey, brilliant on the subjects Macca and I have been knocking about here. Josephine Gangho's article and the first paragraph on Djokovic. Djokovic's latest self-sabotage ensures his legacy will be controversy, not tennis. The world number one is bullheaded and arrogant with unerring faith in his godlike status. Look at his parents. But this time his pride might come before a fall. Great story on the 13th of January. Guy Rundle, my old mate Guy Rundle's take on our immigration policy, particularly in regards to the forgotten long-term victims of the policy, also this week, is simply brilliant reading.
Yeah.
I can't recommend
and there's,
it highly
And there's
enough.
One other, if I may. It's in The Age today by Chip LeGrand and Paul Sackle. How Novak Djokovic's Instagram post led to a messy saga. Read this and you'll get a really good handle on it. Anyway, I know you're in court, Novak. I know some of your people will be listening. You've got my advice for free. But think about it. I think it actually makes just a little bit of sense.
Case closed. Macca, thank you.
And in case you didn't know, Novak Djokovic has a diplomatic passport issued by Serbia in 2011.
Because the brother of the baby
but
Jesus,
of course,
which is what Novak...
You know, some journalists, and I know I'm using up passport. Time, some journalists say, oh, he could have used that. A diplomatic passport is only of use if the country you're travelling to recognises your diplomatic credentials, and to have your diplomatic credentials accepted, the Hague Convention, you have to present your papers to the head of state. That's the custom. So Novak hasn't done that. He hasn't visited the Governor-General. Well, the Governor-General's got COVID. So he hasn't visited the Governor-General and presented, you know, his papers.
I didn't have to do that. They just waved me in, Macca. They just waved me in.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Anyway.
Straight to the comfy lounge.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.